Hello, and thank you for joining us on today's call. I'm Mike Moriel, NHL.com staff writer and co-host of the NHL's Draft Class podcast. Today, NHL Central Scouting released their final rankings for the 2020 NHL Draft, which are available now on NHL.com and the NHL media website. We are going to open today's call with members of NHL Central Scouting to get their take on the rankings, process, and some of the players at the top of the list. And then we're going to bring in four of the top-ranked prospects for a Q&A session. I'd like to welcome at this time Dan Marr, Director of NHL Central Scouting, David Gregory, Senior Manager of NHL Central Scouting, and JF Domfus, Area Scout for the Quebec and the Maritimes. Thanks for joining us, gentlemen.
Good day, Thank you, Mike.
Good day, Mike.
Dan, Central Scouting's meetings for the final rankings were a little different this year. Tell us about how things changed with the season on pause and how the Bureau's ranking process works in general.
Well, this year, unfortunately, no one got the benefit to scout playoffs, Memorial Cup, the U18 World Championships. For Central Scouting, our list always comes out around this time during the first round of NHL playoffs and before the draft lottery. We missed about 10 days, and most of our ranking is based on regular season play. It gives us a balanced assessment. And as far as our meetings went, we just moved it to an online format. We were able to conduct a business-as-usual approach. It's just we were minus the personal interaction that you get when you have breaks and dinners. But we were certainly able to make the best of this situation and get our list done.
JF, it's now official. Alexi Lafreniere is number one in North America among the skaters. With the amount of scouting you do in Quebec and the Maritimes, you've seen a lot of Alexi. So tell us what makes him such a special prospect.
Well, obviously, Alexi is quite the player. When you look at every aspect of his game, I think you could consider every aspect as elite. When you look at his skating, his puck skills, I think it's obviously above average. And he's been excellent for his 3 years with Rimouski. I think one of his best assets in general is his vision, his playmaking skills. Every game that I saw him play, he makes plays that you don't even think that those plays are possible, and he still makes them. But I think what separates him from the pack is his compete level. He's willing to play physical. He battles every game. And anytime that the game's on the line, you want him on the ice. He makes big plays, games, and he responds under pressure.
Dan, was there much debate when it came to the top of the list, both for Lafreniere in North America and Tim Stützle, the number one ranked international skater out of Germany? I mean, what kind of set these players apart?
Well, with both these players, their ability to perform under pressure, particularly on the world stage in most situations, really stands out. But it's their consistency to play and compete at a high level and consistently produce those results. I always keep in mind that both of these players have been the younger players on most of their teams coming up the line here, and they played major roles. And I think it's important that everyone knows, like, you know, the best is still yet ahead for all of these four prospects that have joined us on the call today.
David, in addition to Lafreniere, there are a couple other members of Team Canada's gold medal winning World Junior Championship team among North America's top three skaters. Number two, Gwynton Byfield of Sudbury. Number three, Jamie Drysdale of Erie. Tell us about those two players and what makes them high-end prospects.
Well, there's lots to say about both of them. But one of the things you just started off with, that they were on that gold medal team at such a young age, and not just on it, but able to contribute. Watching both these players develop over the year and get it put into high-end situations and then be able to adapt and contribute just shows you how special they are. You know, to talk quickly just about Quinton first, and a player with his size and strength, and I think there's more size and strength to come, but to be able to have soft hands and the vision and make plays, and when players try to eliminate him, he can beat you with power or he can beat you with hands and hockey sense. So makes him very, very tough to contain, and a really attractive prospect, obviously. And Jamie Drysdale is the type of player that every team is looking for. very smart puck moving defenseman who can beat you with his vision, beat you with his hockey sense, able to use that great quickness and thinking to defend and strip a puck and turn it around. And before you know it, it's going the other way and find the open man on the attack that makes him, too tough to pass up if he's available when you're picking.
All right, let's get to some questions courtesy of our good friends in the media. Dan Sam Constantino of Sportsnet asks, if there's no combine, what, if any, testing information is available for teams? And will there be any restrictions for teams in terms of contacting players for interviews, the psych tests, while maintaining social distancing?
Yeah, great question. I'll answer by addressing the three segments of the combine. One is the interviews. NHL clubs are allowed to do interviews with the players basically all season long. And at this point now, it's just moved to an online format by whatever technical means they have. Obviously, with all the social distancing restrictions, there's no in-person interviews that are allowed. On the testing side, we're proceeding on our medical collection side as far as getting the players to provide a medical history questionnaire and any medical reports that are available. That's all information that gets posted and available to our club's doctors and trainers. And on the testing side, there are no fitness results going to be able to be obtained with the postponement of the combine. But we have an arrangement in place at our prospect games where we do get some on-ice test results done. So the teams do have on-ice test results of 75 of the top 100 prospects for this draft.
JF, TVA Sports asks, how is the pandemic changing the way prospects are being evaluated and organizations finalizing their lists, in your opinion?
Well, for us, I mean, our list was pretty much completed the way we scouted all year. We've seen those players a good amount of time, so I don't think the situation actually changed much about our list. I think they were recognized for what they've done. And our list is pretty much a good resume of their season. So I feel pretty confident that our list is not impacted by the actual situation.
David, a record 8 players from the United States Hockey National Team Development Program under 18 team were selected in the first round of the 2019 draft. Defenseman Jake Sanderson was one of 3 players from this year's program ranked among the top 31. Sanderson jumped from number 11 at the midterm to number 4 in the final ranks. What makes him such a special player?
Well, I think we knew he was special coming in, but his development curve over the course of this year just kept getting better and better, and we're thinking there may be no ceiling in sight. He just continues to understand how to dominate in both ends of the rink, and he does it on every stage. He had an excellent game at the USHL Prospects game, and from that time on, he just kept playing better and better, and oftentimes a young player figures out how dominant they can be and sort of quote understands, hey, I get it now. I know how to dominate and make impact on a game. And he's done that. And I think the ceiling is very high with him.
Dan, we certainly don't want to forget about our goalies. And this year we could have one chosen among the top 10 selections. How good is Yaroslav Askarov from Russia's junior league?
Askarov is one of the more athletic goaltenders available in this draft. He's got a proven track record. Again, he's one of these players that's always been the youngest player on his team. He's got a shelf full of medals already. He brings the size, the compete level, and he has all the goaltending tools that he needs to be a number one goalie in the National Hockey League.
David, the Detroit News asks, how deep is this draft class compared to previous seasons? And is there a strength at any one particular position?
It's hard to say, to answer the second part first, hard to think of there's a strength in any one position. You can see from our list, there's a few less defensemen as you go down on the North American side. So there's some elite forwards there that are going to create a lot of discussion amongst the teams. And to me, the thing that always happens, the season starts and you wonder how deep the draft class is. But as we go through our scouting process and as we meet both at midterm and final as a group, you realize there's a lot of depth here. People, teams are going to get very, very good players as they pick into the second, third, fourth rounds. There's going to be some real hidden gems there. And a few years from now, we'll be talking about how did that player get taken so late? So there's lots of depth here and lots of opportunity for the NHL clubs.
And this question from the Associated Press, directed for Dan and JF. Does the lack of scouting due to fewer games make it more difficult for teams making choices in the later rounds?
Well, it's certainly new territory for the clubs. They've never had a situation like this where they don't get to factor in the playoff performances, as I alluded to before. It kind of puts them on a even playing ground with central scouting. So there's a lot of old-fashioned scouting going on here where there has been less views, but everybody, their staff has been out there. They've worked hard. They've got a good view, a good opinion of these players. So I think the NHL clubs are in a good place as far as putting a draft list together.
And we have one final one here from Radio Canada for JF. JF, what can you say about the second half of the season for center Dawson Mercer of Chicoutimi with regard to his draft status?
Yes, for sure. Dawson had a really good season overall and obviously was traded from Drummondville to Chicoutimi at the halfway point. And I think he performed really well with Chicoutimi. There's obviously a period of to adapt and especially it's an Olympic-sized rink in Chicoutimi. But I think overall he adjusted really well, performed well, and played a big role on his team, played first line for the most part. And unfortunately, he got injured towards the end of the year. But overall, I'd say he performed really well, and he's well placed on our central scouting list.
Great stuff. Dan, David, JF, thank you for joining us today and for all the hard work that Central Scouting does year in, year out. Be well, gentlemen, and stay safe.
Thank you.
Thank you. Same to you. Appreciate it.
All right. Right now, I'd like to welcome to the call four of the top-ranked prospects. So please bear with us as we bring in left wing Alexis Lafreniere of the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League's Rimouski Oceanic, left wing Tim Stützle of Mannheim in Germany's top professional league, center Quinton Byfield of the Ontario Hockey League Sudbury Wolves, and defenseman Jamie Drysdale of the OHL's Erie Otters. Thank you for joining us today, guys, and congratulations on being recognized so highly by NHL Central Scouting.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
To everyone here, I'm just going to go around the virtual room and ask where you are, how you're doing, and how this draft year has been, you know, what it's been like for you with such unusual circumstances. Alexi, let's start off with you.
You know, it's a pretty weird situation that we're in right now, but I think everyone is doing their best to, you know, stay fit. And, you know, personally, I train you know, a little bit home, and you know, it's not the same, but I'll try to stay fit and you know, spend time with my family that you know, I don't see really often during the season. So you know, try to spend as much time as I can with my family, and you know, try to train as well as I can.
How about you, Tim?
Yeah, the same for sure. Tough situation right now, but I think it's very important that everybody stays healthy right now and that bad situation and stays at home for sure. And I'm doing my fitness too and home and in the fitness center with a personal coach, and it's going good. But yeah, it will be better to play the playoffs for sure.
Quentin?
Yeah, I'd say definitely the same thing there. You know, it's definitely difficult times. You know, no one was expecting this. Everyone was expecting to go in the playoffs. But, you know, it's just important everyone stays safe, and you still have to stay active. I'm still doing my workouts and all that as well. But, you know, it's definitely – you're definitely a bit of a mixed emotions. You're definitely excited for the draft now. I'm a little bit disappointed that you can't go there. But, you know, that's still up in the air, which would really be exciting if we have the opportunity to do that.
How about you, Jamie?
Yeah, I think they all hit it pretty bang on. Obviously, it's a bit unfortunate that playoffs aren't able to be played. And I think – everyone was looking forward to that time of year. So obviously unfortunate in that part, but you know, I think like everyone else said, it's important everyone just stays home and stays safe, as well as making sure they're staying in shape and doing everything they can to just stay at the kind of level of hockey they are, whether it's shooting pucks or working out. So I think that's still important to do. You know, it's not just time off. So I think that everyone's kind of just trying to stay in hockey shape and do what they can.
All right, let's go around the horn here with some specific questions for each of you. Alexi, you've had an incredible year leading the QMJHL in points, earning MVP in a gold medal winning effort at World Juniors, What will it mean when you finally get to pull on an NHL jersey, whichever team it ends up being for the first time?
You know, for sure, it's growing up. It's you know, it's a dream of every hockey players, and you know, to see how close we are right now, it's pretty exciting, and you know, it's really fun. I think we're all excited for the draft, and you know, the team that's going to draft me, I'm going to be really really happy to join them, and you know, try to have as much success as I can.
Tim, you represented your country at the World Juniors. You spent the entire season in Germany's top men's pro league, a lot of it as a 17-year-old, won Rookie of the Year honors. How do you think playing in a men's league has prepared you for the NHL?
Yeah, I mean, playing with men and train with men all the time is was a big part of my life, and they helped me out a lot. They wanted to make me better, and I'm so thankful for my teammates. And yeah, but it was just great. They helped me out, and I could learn a lot from the veterans. And yeah, it was just a great season for me.
Quinton, big year for you. World Junior gold, tied for fifth in the OHL in points per game. How would you describe yourself as a hockey player? What are your strengths as a center?
Yeah, you know, yeah, it was definitely a big year for me. I think I would describe myself as a hockey player as just a big 2A forward that tries to play 200 field of the game. You know, definitely more of an offensive upside there. I think my strongest part of my game is definitely my skating for a big guy. I try to use that to my advantage and, you know, find my teammates on the offensive zone and set them up.
Jamie, big year on the blue line for Erie, 47 points, 22 power play points in 49 games. In your opinion, Jamie, what qualities do you feel are most important to becoming an effective all-around defenseman in today's game?
Yeah, I think there's definitely some that I think are important. You look at guys in the NHL that are being really successful right now, the young guys like Quinn Hughes and Cal McCarr. So I think things that stand out with them are skating and just how they think the game, how they have confidence with the puck. So I think that those are three things that I try and use as much as I can in my game. And I think three things that will lead to success at the next level.
All right, let's get to some questions from our friends in the media. To Tim and Alexi from Adam Kimmelman of NHL.com. If an NHL general manager asked you why they should select you with the number one pick in the draft, what would you tell them? Let's start with Alexi.
I think just, you know, the way I'm a leader and, you know, I always want to win when the game's on the line. I think I can make a difference. And, you know, I think that's a strong asset that I have. And, you know, for sure there's some other really good players in the draft. So it's really special to be number one for sure.
And Tim, if you could answer the same question.
Yeah, perfect. I hate to lose, and I want to win every game and want to be the difference maker and want to play a good night every day. And I'm humble and a hard worker, so I want to get better every day too. So a lot of good players in the draft, and I'm just honored to be part of it.
This is for everyone. NHL social media asked, we have seen some unique and fun training by players who are making do with the equipment they have at home. Have you practiced or trained while self-isolating? Is anyone doing squats with their dogs? If you have a dog, TikTok dancing routines or anything like that? Let's start with Quinton.
I don't know if I'm doing squats with my dog. I think my dog would freak out if I tried lifting it up, but no, I'm just downstairs, really, just you know, hitting the weights and shooting pucks down there, just the usual stuff. Going on runs, enjoying the nice weather that we're having past couple of days. So, you know, I'm just doing the usual stuff. Nothing too fancy or crazy like that.
Jamie,
yeah, I'm kind of the same way. My parents ordered a bunch of gym equipment, so I kind of got a little set up in my living room, kind of gassed all the couches there so we could make it a little gym spot. So I've been doing that, shooting a lot of pucks and, you know, just trying to make the most of it.
Tim?
Yeah, I'm a little bit lucky. In Germany, we can do one-on-one practices. So one of my parents' friend has his own gym, and he's a personal coach, so I'm allowed to play to practice there with him and do my workout stuff.
And Alexi?
Yeah, for me, it's kind of the same as Jamie and Quinton. You know, nothing nothing too fancy, just, you know, training home and, you know, I have gym equipment here and, you know, I can go for runs, shoot pucks and, you know, a little bit of rollerblades to skate a little bit. But, you know, it's different, but I think I can have everything to stay fit.
To all here, Radio Canada asks, how does not playing for more than 6 months before your first pro training camp change things for you? And at what point is this going to be harder to make a statement at an NHL training camp? Let's start with Alexi.
Yeah, for sure it's going to be a little bit different, you know, not playing for a long time. But I think, you know, if we train hard and we do whatever we can with what we have to, you know, stay fit and try to gain some strength, I think we're going to be ready. And, you know, it's going to be an adjustment for everybody, but I think we're going to be fine.
Jamie, going to be difficult to get the rust out during an NHL training camp?
Yeah, for sure. I think it will be. But in saying that, I think everybody, most people, if not everybody, will kind of be in the same boat. So, you know, I think it's just important to do what you can, everything you can. Every little thing will help benefit you in that aspect. So it's just a matter of doing what you can and, you know, just show up as best you can.
Quentin?
Yeah, no, I think it's definitely going to be a bit difficult, but as Jamie said, everyone's in the same boat. No, nobody's really been playing hockey for 6 months, but, you know, you've done that. You played hockey for, everyone's been playing for at least 10 years, so you know the game well, and you just have to go back to that and, you know, just you definitely know how to play, and it'll just take you a little bit, but I think you'll definitely get comfortable and just try and stay in shape as much as you can and see if you can gain more muscle and just keep trying to improve. Even with this time off.
Hey, Tim, NHL.com International is hoping to get your thoughts on becoming the first German player ever to top Central Scouting's list for international skaters. How's that feeling?
Yeah, I mean, it would be a great feeling to get drafted as high as possible, but Leon is doing a great job over there. And yeah, I'm just honored to be such a play such a big role in the draft, and I'm looking forward for the draft and for sure playing in the NHL.
Just want to go around the room and ask if you guys can tell us something we probably don't already know about you, a special skill, a hobby, perhaps a superstition or something along those lines. Quentin, I'll start with you because I understand you have quite the bow tie collection, huh?
Yeah, definitely. You know, the bow tie collection is definitely up there. No, I probably have over 30, 40 of them. So I try to have some funky ones, switch those out every game. But something else that people don't know is, no, I'm definitely an athlete and like playing other sports. So I think if hockey wasn't my main sport at the time, I think I'd try to maybe pursue basketball or something like that. You know, I'm always playing around with my buddies. We always go to LA Fitness or something. That's our gym here. And we'd play basketball there. So. You know, always just pick up games like that. It's just a lot of fun. So I think I'd be okay at basketball. So I think that's what I do.
Jamie, how about you?
Yeah. Well, I don't have a bow tie collection, but, you know, I like to consider myself a pretty good ping pong player. Never had a table, but, you know, I picked it up pretty well. And, you know, I like to think I'm a pretty good player. So that's probably something that people wouldn't know about me.
Lexi, any hidden talents?
You know, growing up, I was a pretty good baseball player. I was probably as good as I was at hockey at the time. And, you know, I had to up to, you know, focus on only one sport. But, you know, yeah, baseball was pretty big in my life when I was growing up.
What was your position and what was your batting average?
I was playing shortstop and, you know, hard to say my batting average. We were pretty young, so we didn't have that much stats.
How about you, Tim?
Yeah, I would say, like Alexi, I played soccer, so and then I had to decide. And, yeah, I think I was pretty good in football and soccer. And, yeah, it was a tough decision for sure, but I think it was the right decision to stay in hockey.
Alexi, quick question here. In September, Penguins captain Sidney Crosby had his number 87 retired by Rimouski, the team for which he played two seasons from 2003 to 2005. What do you remember about his visit? And if you took away one thing he said to you while he was there, what was it? You can answer it English and French.
He just told us to enjoy the moment. I think he told us his junior Karin Rimouski was unbelievable, and to enjoy, because it was in the best time of his life. So to see how humble he is, and he's a good, really good guy, and it was really fun to be a part of his retirement for sure.
Yeah, I got two more questions for all of you, so just bear with me. You guys are doing great. What are you each binge watching on Netflix, or your favorite cable channel right now? And what type of music are you listening to when you do get an opportunity to work out? Let's start with Jamie.
Yeah, well, I'm watching Tiger King right now. It's definitely an interesting show. I just found it on Netflix, and it's not long, but it's just keeping me busy right now. It's pretty entertaining. And on the music aspect, I've never been a rap guy. I tend to not like the music in the minor hockey league dressing rooms, which is all pretty hardcore rap. So more of a country guy, really into country. So, I think I don't really need rap or rock music to get me fired up. Country will do the job. So that's kind of how I work.
Great. And I see you shaking your head there, smiling.
Oh yeah, no, country. I don't know if that'll get me fired up for a workout. So I definitely have the rap music going, all the good stuff down there going. But the club I'm watching right now, I've got back into Money Heist. They just came out with the new season, so I got back into that show. And I'm also Animal Kingdom. I've been watching that, and then I think my parents are binge watching Tiger King down there too.
Tim.
Yeah, I don't really watch a lot Netflix. I mostly play Fortnite with a couple of friends. And for my workout, I like to hear hip-hop, rap music, but American, so not German. And
And then Alexi?
Yeah, kind of the same as Tim. Not watching a lot of Netflix. A little bit of PlayStation, and when I work out, just a lot of kind of music. I don't really care. I like new music, and that's it. Yeah.
All right, and final question here, boys. We're going to go around the room again to find out what player you look up to and try to model your game after, and why. Jamie, let's start with you.
Yeah, well, I'm a Toronto boy, so I've always been a Leafs fan. So definitely a guy like Morgan Rielly. I think the way he can play both ends of the ice and make an impact, and be trusted in all zones. So I think definitely a player that I like to watch and just kind of take anything I can and add it to my game. And another guy, obviously a young stud, Cale Makar. I think he's pretty hard not to like when you watch him, how he's as young as he is in his first full season and making the impact he is. So I think that's just a big confidence factor alongside the skill he has. So I think definitely another guy I like to kind of model my game after.
Tim, you're up.
My favorite player is Connor McDavid for sure. I mean, he wants to win every game too, and he wants to make the difference. And it's just awesome to see how he skates and how he has the puck skills. But for sure, as a German guy, I need to go with Leon too. So he's doing great, and definitely the guy I look up to. In German. Ja, also mein Vorbild ist schon immer Connor McDavid gewesen, wie er einfach jedes Spiel auch gewinnen möchte und immer einen Unterschied machen möchte, finde ich sehr, sehr gut. Und aber natürlich als Deutscher muss ich auch mit Leon gehen, der eine unglaubliche Saison auch drüben gespielt hat. Und ja, natürlich schaue ich auch zu ihm hoch.
Quentin, I've heard a lot of things. You're being compared to some big-time centers out there. Which one do you model your game after?
Yeah, no, definitely, John, a couple comparisons out there. I think V. Malkin, that's just an honor to be compared to that guy. He's soon to be a Hall of Famer. So I'm definitely watching as much Pittsburgh games as possible just to see what he does on the ice and how he plays, He's a big 200-foot center, and just amazing offensive ability he has, and just how he plays is just unbelievable. So I definitely watch him quite a bit and try and mold my game a little bit after him.
Alexi?
Yeah, I've always, growing up, I've always watched Patrick Kane, still watch him. He's my favorite player, and, what he can do on the ice, under pressure and in big moments, I think he can he can be the difference maker. So you know, just always watch him, and you know, still is my favorite player.
Well, guys, you've all been so gracious with your time today. Keep doing the best you can under these conditions. Stay well, be safe, and we'll be talking again real soon.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
I want to thank everyone for joining us today. A reminder, you can find NHL Central Scouting's full rankings for the 2020 NHL Draft at NHL.com and on the NHL Media website. Thank you.